From the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation and around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. In a moment, tarot cards with Dr. Art Rosengarten. And next hour, privacy, privacy, privacy with Catherine Albrecht. While I'm in Minneapolis, I'm attending a conference tomorrow. It's called the Conclave Conference. I'm on a panel. There's going to be a number of broadcasters and aspiring broadcasters here. They're all over the Twin Cities. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that in the morning, pop back on a plane. I'll be back in St. Louis. A couple weeks from now, it'll be back to Los Angeles. Many thanks, by the way, to one of our hosts, Ian Punnett, who has been carting me around Minneapolis, St. Paul, all day long, picking me up at the airport, which is not a bad flight from St. Louis, but Ian has just been fantastic. So thank you so much, Ian. Here's what's happening. Well, it's been over a year since that natural disaster ravaged nuke plant in Fukushima, Japan, interrupted the lives of millions of Japanese. But scientists now fear that the contaminated water is on a course for America, and it could be more toxic than thought. Researchers have released the findings of an intense study into the aftermath of last year's Fukushima nuke disaster and warn that the United States is not exactly spared, not just yet. Scientists now fear that incredibly contaminated ocean waters could be reaching the west coast of the U.S. in a matter of only 5 years. The toxicity of these waves could eventually be worse than what was seen in Japan. Already, they are estimating that possibly 120 people will die related to this entire situation. I think that could go much higher. Dr. Robin Falk of Health Freedoms writes with us. Robin, what can you tell us about this horrible situation?
Well, the horrible thing about it is that we're not getting accurate measurements of radiation exposure. And reading this article about what is expected to wash up, they're claiming in 5 years, why has everyone forgotten about that famous soccer ball that was found in Alaska with the little Japanese boy's name on it that was returned to him? This waste and rubbish and contamination has already crossed the ocean, some of it. The only senator that's trying to do anything is our friend Nick Begich's brother in Alaska. He tried to get a bill through to take some proactive actions to deal with what's going to be washing up on the West Coast.
Now, this estimate of 120 people that could die because of this disaster, I think that's a very low number, Robin. What do you think?
I agree with you, George. I mean, we're looking at, we're not getting accurate readings. I've tried tracing down stories, and I thought I did my due diligence calling news desks throughout a whole area and later finding out either they didn't know or they just didn't want this released to the public. I think what we're looking at is a situation where they don't really know what to do. You have the San Onofre reactor. One of them was shut down in California, just south of L.A., and there are problems with that. There are problems with the carbon tubes. They're finding very unusual damage rates for that. So we have this coming over. We have four nuclear reactors that have been shut down on the East Coast today. I haven't seen it on the news.
No, but you'll hear it on Coast to Coast, Robin, and you continue to monitor this situation for us. That's Dr. Robin Falk. Her website, of course, will be on our Twitter feed, healthfreedomrights.com. A lack of exercise is now causing as many deaths as smoking across the world, according to a study. The report published in The Lancet to coincide with the buildup for the Olympics estimates that about a third of the adults are not doing enough physical activity, causing 5.3 million deaths a year just because of that. Another sad story about this flesh-eating bacteria. Rory Stoughton scraped his arm diving for a basketball. Nobody thought much about it. But 2 years, two days later, the 12-year-old was fighting for his life in a New York City hospital as the bacteria from the injury raced through his bloodstream. He died in intensive care. The bacteria and his body's reaction to it, a condition known as septic shock, killed him. We have got to do a major show on this. This is becoming too widespread, and I don't know if doctors know what to do about it. Government safety regulators are investigating complaints that throttles can stick on older model Ford Escape and Mazda Tribute SUVs, causing them, of course, to crash. The probe by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration affects 730,000 SUVs from the years 2001 to 2004 model years. They're powered by the V8 engines. For the first time in recent history, the average Canadian is richer than the average American. And I just came back from an event in Toronto, and our Canadian brothers and sisters are just happy as can be right now. Maybe this is one of the reasons why. And it's not just by a little. Currently, the average Canadian household is more than $40,000 richer than the American household. The net worth of the average Canadian household in 2011 was $363,000 compared to around $320,000 for Americans. Mish Shedlock, our registered investment advisor. Mish, what's the reason for this turnaround?
Is there a turnaround? It's called a bubble in Canada in housing prices. We heard the same thing in the United States in 2006 and 2007. Oh, look, George, the debt doesn't matter because asset prices are soaring. So Canada never had a housing crash. It's like the people in Ireland and Iceland thought that they were wealthy, even though in spite of all their debt, the asset prices were really high. So, you know, what's different? What's different here in Canada? The housing prices have held up, so their wealth there on paper has held up. Kind of looking at this, the CMHC, that's the Canada Mortgage and Housing Society, has backstopped. It's a crown corporation, essentially the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac of Canada, if you would. They've backstopped all the mortgages there. People in Canada can't walk away. So the government of Canada is going to have to step in if and when prices in Canada fall. And I think they're going to, George. Home prices, I don't care whether it's Canada, the United States, Australia, cannot stay levitated above rental prices and above incomes. Rental prices and incomes in Canada have not risen as much as home prices. We're going to see a crash there, George. Just don't know when.
Okay, Mish, thank you so much for that. And okay, we continue to monitor Curiosity. You know, it's supposed to land on Mars on August 5th, 6th. Computers on NASA's Curiosity rover are now being rebooted as the spacecraft approaches Mars for its landing. The process, which occurs over 4 days, resets Curiosity's primary and backup systems to their default state in advance of a landing sequence that leaves, of course, little room for error. We'll be watching that entire landing on Coast to Coast AM. Up next, Dr. Art Rosengarten joins us. We're going to talk about tarot cards and your future on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, live in Minneapolis. Dr. Art Rosengarten, licensed Jungian psychologist, expertise both as a psychotherapist and a tarot reader. Art's been a teacher for more than 35 years with particular interest in Jungian, transpersonal, and Buddhist psychologies as well. He's back on Coast to Coast. Art, how you been?
How are you?
Always a pleasure, my friend, always. I always get a lot of requests for you. People are fascinated with tarot cards. What's so special about them?
Well, each tarot reading is like a fingerprint. It's unique. There's, you know, a set of 78 cards, and each card in and of itself has a multitude of meaning. So when a person randomly selects a small set of cards, maybe three, there's a very unique fingerprint or snapshot of their living experience through symbols.
Explain a little bit more about that.
Well, the tarot sort of softens our relationship to hardcore everyday reality. We're so bombarded with, you know, consensual facts and figures about what's happening in our lives that with tarot cards or any other oracle tool, it softens our relationship to everyday experience, much like, George, a dream does. When you wake up from a powerful dream, you kind of come into your life with a different sort of feeling or perspective. The cards have the same effect. They slow you down and make you reflect a little bit more about maybe an underlying, I guess you could call it a spirituality or a another way of seeing what's going on in your everyday world.
Art, you are a clinical psychologist. You have been doing tarot for a long, long time. Are you one of the first to do this?
Well, I believe I am. In terms of, I did write the first doctoral dissertation on tarot readings back in 1985. So I know that I wrote the first one because I had to do a thorough research on everything that's been written before my work, and I didn't find that much. Though tarot is an ancient art form, and I'm just a kind of contemporary psychologist who's picked it up and said this is a great tool for working with people with regular kinds of problems and softening up their relationship to that so they can begin to see there are many levels of things going on.
Now, what got you into tarot cards? I mean, because it's a different kind of a mix for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always been interested in psychic experience and parapsychology since I was 13 years old in New Jersey. But I went to graduate school and was studying East-West psychology in San Francisco, and I took actually a weekend seminar on tarot cards, believe it or not, and I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic tool. I loved the symbolism, and I decided to go on and do my doctoral research with tarot, comparing it to dream work and psychological projective testing.
You know, when we look at the tarot cards, Art, and you've shown them to me, you sprinkle them out all over the place. We'll do that when we take phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
I've always asked you about the devil card, the death card, and what it all means.
Yeah.
Let's explain that. Somebody pulls the death card.
It means they're going to die.
You took the wind out of my sails.
I'm sorry, George. But, yeah, exactly. But when, it doesn't tell us. You know, predictions in the tarot are not time specific. What they are is a compendium of universal human experiences. We're all going to die. There's a tarot card about that. Just like if we pull the lover's card, we're all going to experience love. Maybe not in this lifetime, but these are the archetypes. These are the universal human experiences. And so when you pull the card, it just opens up that core possibility, and it becomes an opportunity for you to reflect on the meaning of the devil, the death card, the lovers. And, you know, in the tarot, there's not just those famous major trump cards, but there's really 78 cards in the full deck. So there's a lot of these universal possibilities to reflect upon.
What is it that determines the outcome of the cards, Art? Is it the individual in question? You know, because I know in many cases you pick them for the person.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
I will facilitate them picking them through a method I like to do, even on your show, where I will, I'll ask them to tune in. And so we're doing that together. But even if it was just me picking it, it ultimately doesn't matter, in my opinion, because it works on the principle known as synchronicity. And who picks it ultimately is not important. But it is valuable because people tend to take more ownership of the message that arises if they themselves pick the card. They don't turn around and say, well, you picked the card. But really, it doesn't matter. I have two basic rules about how to read tarot cards. One, the card is always right, and two, it's up to us to discover what it's saying.
How does tarot compare and relate to astrology, to numerology?
Okay. Well, it certainly corresponds to both. Tarot, the number system running through the tarot is based on, you know, classical numerology, and which is also interrelated with astrology. There are, correspondences between each of the major arcana in the zodiac. They're analogous. They're correspondences. However, they're not the same. Those other methods are part of tarot, but tarot, in addition, is pictures. It has a whole painting, a whole story in the picture. And if you don't know anything about astrology or numerology or the Kabbalah or any of that, you can just contemplate the picture itself. And I believe a transmission of understanding takes place.
Art, do the cards tell people more about who they are as opposed to what they may become or what could happen to them?
Well, that's a really interesting question. Definitely, I don't believe they're predictive. They're not going to say what's going to happen in the future. I mean, that's part of the now. The future is part of the now. Who we are is part of the now. It's part of the present, you know, the present-centered experience. So all of those things are part of what we could call the now, or the present reality, the present moment. So, you know, I don't know. Yes and no, kind of.
You wrote a book, Tarot and Psychology, Spectrums of Possibility. Tell me about that.
Well, in this book, I try to present how the tarot can be a relevant and appealing to contemporary therapists and healers and artists and teachers, even business people, by updating the language from the old occult and arcane language of the 19th and 18th centuries, by writing about it more in the language of contemporary, I would say, helping professionals. I also included my research studies with the tarot cards and domestic violence. This is written during the O.J. Simpson trials, and I actually went in and went into programs and got subjects who were perpetrators and victims of domestic violence to volunteer for readings, which I then did a fairly elaborate analysis of, looking at were there certain kind of prototypical personality composites that kicked out in the tarot readings through this synchronistic, random, magical method that revealed something new about domestic violence. I wanted to pick a really tough topic, and domestic violence could have done alcoholism or anything, just to show that actually this intuitive synchronistic tool can actually show us another side of what's going on that ordinary methodology misses. And that's really what the tarot is about. It shows us the other side of things.
Will tarot cards tell you a little bit, for example, of the state of world affairs? Will it go that far?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do, you know, we do that in some of my tarot classes. I've developed a spread I call the history spread, and we've done readings about presidential elections. I remember we did it during the Monica Lewinsky Clinton days. It was really interesting. We'd have a whole group of people divining cards and interpreting it in these spreads that were designed to elucidate the dynamics going on inside, you know, say the White House. But the thing is, I believe, George, that ultimately, this is what Carl Jung said, you know, ultimately, history is not really about the outer events that we all read in the textbooks. Ultimately, the deciding factors really are inside the human spirit, inside the human
Well, that's mind. So important. Art, we're going to come back, talk a little bit more with you about tarot, but also open up the phone lines. Maybe you can help some of the Coast to Coast listeners. I'm George Norrie, back with Dr. Art Rosengarten on Coast to Coast AM. You know, I lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul for a year back in 1978 to 79, and then I moved on to St. Louis. Great town, by the way. The winters in the 70s were incredibly cold. You had to plug your car in to keep the engine block warmed up, and I think they still do that, but I don't think it's as cold as it used to be. Minneapolis, St. Paul, beautiful area indeed. Hey, by the way, next hour, Catherine Albrecht joins us. We're going to talk about incredible privacy issues that affect all of you. And welcome back to Coast with Art Rosengarten. We'll take your calls, and what we'll probably do with you, Art, is we'll do your same system that you've done with me over all the years. When they call in, if they need a little information about themselves, you can do what you do, okay?
Absolutely.
Art, also, tell me a little bit about your views on synchronicity. I am not a believer in coincidence. I think things happen for a reason. Fate takes over. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you. I believe that there's another parallel level of reality that's that we might call natural intelligence, that when we kind of shift into another way of looking, maybe we meditate or we just kind of get quiet for a moment, we tune into another kind of realm where everything is interconnected and everything is very much in the present moment. So I think we experience, you know, we think it's a coincidence when actually all that's really happening is we're stepping into another parallel universe of perception. And so, yes, I think it's extremely important. And I think really in terms of the future of our planet, I think the more that we learn how to perceive from this other perspective, I think it opens up a lot of positive things.
When people are asking for tarot readings, what are they generally looking for and what do you recommend?
You know, it can be any place where they're genuinely in a quandary, any place that they genuinely or sincerely have a question or are willing to kind of turn it over, if you will, to a higher power, if I may use that phrase. If it's sincere, it's fine. Doesn't really matter what the particular area is.
Okay, let's go to some calls. Cheryl is in Salt Lake City, Utah. First time caller. Cheryl, you're on with Dr. Art. Go ahead. Welcome to Coast.
I can't believe you took my call. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
My problem is I have a mother with severe dementia, and I just bought a house with her hoping that it will help. And I'm wondering, can the tarot help guide me through that?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you how this works. There's three positions that, no matter what you ask me, I'm going to random. I have now a tarot deck all shuffled up and face down, fanned out on my table right in front of me. Now, this is your particular question about your mother's dementia in the house, okay? Now, there's three positions that we're going to look at, and then I'm going to randomly select cards for each of those positions, one card for each, and then I will interpret what I'm seeing there, and you can see how that feels for you. So the three positions, Cheryl, are what I call appearance, reality, and necessity. So you'll have to empower me to just kind of randomly select just what, you know, use my own intuition. I'm just going to turn over the first card, which represents how it appears right now, and that is the Hierophant card, or the High Priest. So it appears like this is some kind of learning lesson, you know, of for you, not a for a view of, un, of like really, there's a kind of a lesson here for you of understanding how to relate to a parent who's going through, you know, this phase of their lives.
Right.
Okay. And actually, there's some important lesson for you in this. I don't know if we're talking about your mother. I think we're talking about you and your relationship to her.
I think so.
Okay. So that's the way it appears. Now, what's really going on in your question, that's a position two. Now I'm going to select another one. Okay. And I'm just going to turn it over. And here we have the moon reversed. Is the moon card upside down? So I think what this is saying, to go straight to it, is I think the whole issue is really stirring up a lot of deep difficulty inside of you, where you're feeling maybe a little bit out of control with not knowing what to do, going into a sense of just not knowing how to deal with it. And it's beyond you in a way. That's my interpretation of the moon reversed. It's you're struggling because you can't put it into a neat package in your own self, and that's what's really going on. You're wanting it to be a lesson for you in dealing with this, but you're having a real hard time getting a grip on it. And the third card, which is what needs to come out now, or necessity, and again, I'm going to select a third card. I'm just going to randomly...
And you go with three, right?
Three, yeah.
Right.
Just three, only three. And here we have now a minor arcana, and this is what's called the Nine of Cups. Cups is the suit of water. This is the number nine. That all has significance. And then there's a picture of a kind of a portly man sitting in front of a table with a lot of food, like sitting in front of a banquet. And there's all these cups behind him. And
with then chicken in his mustache and beard, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Viking type.
Right. So the card, when it's right side up, talks about pleasure and fulfillment. Now, upside down, it would be struggling. It would be struggling to feel fulfilled. There's a feeling of maybe emptiness, or what needs to come out is that this is, this is really, I think, affecting your ability. You know, you may be in some depression, really, about this. You're not able to enjoy. You're not able to feel fulfilled right now, and it's perfectly understandable given the situation you're in.
Art, are you seeing with the cards similarities between people? A lot of people, tension, stressed out. Are you seeing similarities there?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's amazing. And often in the particular night or day that I'm reading, if I read a whole lot of people, it'll be amazing that the same few cards will keep on coming up again and again and again, even though I shuffle, 10 times each before I do a reading. So, yeah, there are certain patterns that come up. That's when it gets really interesting with the tarot, because you begin to see how, there's some collective level that we're all going through similar things at various times and in our history, that there's certain themes that come to the fore that are fairly common.
Do you read the tarot cards for yourself? And if you do you set your day because of it, the way they show up?
Well, sometimes, yeah. I try not to become like a tarot hog, and become dependent on and read them just whenever, though. Yeah. There's been periods where that's been interesting. I try to wait for real questions to arise that I can't solve myself, and there's a place of not knowing. That's a great place to be before consulting with an oracle. You know, say, this is important, and I don't know. That's when I would go to the tarot.
Next up, we go to Honda in Pueblo, Colorado, on Coast to Coast. Hey, Honda, go ahead.
Hi, it's actually Rhonda. Good evening, George and Art. How are you?
Hi.
My print is so big on my screen, it just turns you into Honda.
There you go. Hi, Art, I was wondering if you could give me a general reading. It seems that every aspect of my life, spiritually, financially, my work, life, social life, community, has changed so drastically, and yet I cannot put my finger on it. What's going on?
Okay, that's a wonderful question, perfect question for a tarot reading. So here's what I'm going to do, and it's Rhonda, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Honda for sure.
Do you drive a Honda by any chance?
No.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go ahead in the same three positions. The first card I'm going to select will represent appearance, how this appears to you when you come to the reading. And I just pulled a card out, and I see the Queen of Cups. It appears like a loving mother or a nurturer, a woman who's a queen of really the feeling function. So, now, this could be speaking about you, or it could be speaking about your circumstance in general. Feels like a loving woman. Feels like a nurturing mother.
Yes, I'm known to be quite the nurturing type.
Okay. But what's going on in reality, what's really going on, that's what it appears, but what's really going on here, if you will, I'm going to pick the second card. Now we have the King of Swords. Now, Swords is the mind thinking. It's very precise and very strong. And what's really going on in this time for you, it's about getting clear, objective. He's like the judge at court, supposedly, who makes very clear discriminations and decisions based on evidence and the facts, and tries to take the emotions out of it. So even though, you know, that nurturing, it starts off with that a nurturing part of you, I think maybe your life is showing you this because you need to get now, you need to cut through the emotions and start seeing things the way they are, seeing things clearly. The sword cuts through, in a way, our imagination and comes right down to the core. So that's really important at this time for you. And then the third card in this series is necessity. So this is what needs to come out. And I'm going to pull it again. And here we have the Wheel of Fortune.
That sounds good.
Of course. This is really the Wheel of Fortune is, you know, we think of Las Vegas or Vanna White or something with the Wheel of Fortune, but really it's in a very beautiful archetype. It's, you know, as old as the hills, and it's about the secrets of right timing. It's about understanding cyclical time, kind of the rhythms of change, and really tuning into when it's time to move, to change, when it's time to be still. So that's the challenge here for you is timing.
All right, super. Good luck, Rhonda. Have you ever gotten to a point, Art, where you pulled three devastating cards?
Oh,
and if so, what are they? What are devastating
cards? Okay, the devastating cards, the three most devastating cards. It's kind of subjective, but certainly I would put on the top of my list the Tower, the Devil, probably, and maybe what appears to be maybe the Ten of Swords is a pretty devastating-looking card because it's a person lying flat, face down on the ground with 10 swords piercing through his back. But it's really not that bad, George. Every card in the tarot has a positive and negative side. that's really important to understand. That's how the human mind works. It works in polarities and dualities. So every tarot card, even the best looking cards there, they have a shadow side, and even the worst cards have a very positive aspect.
Okay. I like that. Fort Smith, Arkansas. Rocky's with us east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Rocky.
Hey, good evening, George. Good evening, Dr. Hart.
Hi. Good evening.
I feel like I've been stuck at a crossroads or the beginning of the Frogger game. I feel like every time I step out, I'm going to get my toes run over.
Okay.
And I don't know. I've never done this before, and I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to maybe see if it would kind of point me in the right direction.
Okay. Let's take a look. So again, I'm going to do the same very simple operation. I've just reshuffled the cards. Now I'm going to just trust my own intuition, and I'm going to find a card randomly, which is really crazy. You know, I think he's just going to pick a card out of the hat, okay? And I'm going to turn that. This first card will represent appearance, how it appears as we come to the question. And, you know, this is the same card that the first reader got, I believe, first readee got, the Nine of Cups, but it's not reversed. This is pleasure. This is that man with the beard that's sitting in front of a table, and he's got all these cups in front of him, and there's a feast, and he's portly, and he's plump, and he's feeling pleasure, good times, party. So it appears, you know, maybe too much of that. It appears like there's filling the you know, sense gratifications. That's the way it appears,
right.
You know. But it looks good at first. It appears to be, you know, like, oh, you're having a lot of fun. That's the way it appears here. Now, what's going on in reality is. Oh, and I'm glad you asked me that question before, George, because here's a great segue. The Tower.
Here we go.
Okay. Now, this is, like I said, this is probably number one, and it's not a bad card. No, hear this clearly, but this is the Tower. It means radical change, evacuation. It means that the outer structure, the tower of your life, like the ivory tower of your existence, is being attacked from the outside. Lightning bolts are striking it, and it's starting to crumble. That's a symbol. It means that your old self, your personality, your MO, your way of being, is no longer tenable. It's just like, even though you may look like that kind of happy-go-lucky guy, actually, the place that you really have been living in is no longer tenable. It's starting to collapse. And you're being, it's just, your ivory tower is no longer working. And what now needs to come out, the third card of necessity, because you need to get out of the, you know, you need to get out of there quick. That's the thing with the Tower card. You need to get out quickly. It's very dramatic. You need to make a very dramatic
get in
change.
And get out. Hey, Art, give us your website, would you?
ArtRosengarten.com.
Spell it.
Spell it?
Yep.
Okay. ArtRosengarten. ArtRosengarten, T for tarot. Or you can also get there the same way by MoonlightCounseling.com.
Super. Art, thanks again. You're great with the tarot cards. Up next, Catherine Albrecht, as we talk about incredible privacy issues right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and we will be right back.